My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Rob McCarron. And previously on Shake Them Ropes, Rob McCarron said, quote, "You know, the only reason they're doing this three stages of fear match is so that Drew McIntyre can get a pinfall over Cody without getting the title."
Did I say the without getting a title part?
Yes, you did, I think.
How dare you, first of all, use my own words against me? How dare you? Hey.
Okay, but before you defend yourself.
I ain't gonna. I'm happy it happened.
Okay, this week, I think for the, like, SmackDown was good, but Raw and Dynamite were fantastic, I thought. Both shows.
Dynamite, we're going to talk about some of the news happening around these promotions. We're going to get into very briefly what we like best about the shows this week. Mm-hmm. But Dynamite was one of the more solid and focused. Biggest thing with Dynamite the last year and a half, 2 years, has been the focus and just like randos coming in for matches for no particular reason that lead nowhere. Everything on the show last night was pretty well set focused. We'll get into that a lot. I agree with you. A great wrestling week that was kicked off by Drew McIntyre winning the WWE Championship, as I predicted. Don't go back and listen. Don't go back and listen to old shows. It's all about the future, Jeff Hawkins.
No, it's all about the now. It's all about the now. Time is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Just listen to this show, and that's all that matters until next week. And then listen to that show, and that's when the facts will matter. There we go.
You want to hear when I'm being sincere? Now is being sincere. Now, if you get to me tomorrow and tell me, "Hey, remember when you said now I'm sincere?" Well, it's not now anymore, is it?
No.
No, that's right.
Plans change. Plans change, Rob.
Plans change, and you get more information. In this case, I got the information that I was wrong. So I've changed my mind and said I was right.
There you go.
That's all it comes down to. But last night, let's talk about this week. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what happened after Dynamite. Off air, okay, there's been a lot of contract news. Early January, we are getting a lot of contract news with not just WWE, with not just TNA, but AEW for sure, not just New Japan. It's going all over the place. But Tony Khan, after Dynamite, sent out this deluge of tweets of new signings. And let's go through some of these names. They announced the signings of the Rascals, which, you know, Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, Myron Reed, and Desmond Xavier, who last week when we were talking about the show, Myron Reed was supposed to be on the TNA AMC debut in an X Division Championship match. Quickly after that, we recorded that show and released it. That match was no longer being advertised, and now we know why, because these guys were working without contracts, some of them contracts that had just expired. And Tony Khan swooped in and signed up all four of the Rascals, who will debut soon in AEW. But he sent out that, which was confirmed on television. They did a little short video and vignette for the Rascals. Persephone from CMLL, Hechicero, and Mascara Dorada. Mm-hmm. Now, two of those last three, Jeff, have basically been full-timers in AEW for, the last 6 months, even more. I mean, Hechicero is part of the Don Callis family. He's seemingly wrestling at least once, if not twice a week on AEW TV. The reason why I bring that part up, Jeff, I want your take on this. Because, yes, the Rascals, they're a brand new signing. That's major news. Persephone, good news. Hechicero, Dorada. I think Tony Khan was straight up just trying to fill in even more. Like, hey, AEW signing guys, these are guys that you can expect on TV. Because he was losing a big one. And that is Will Hobbs reportedly heading out the door. Contract ended Wednesday night, going to WWE. I think he was just trying to get ahead of like, yeah, we may have lost one, but look at all these guys I'm bringing in, even if they've already been here for a while.
There's that. I believe that Dorada and Hechicero were on like 6-month two-way contracts or something to that effect. Yeah,
that's right. Ahead. They can come up for 10 days. They can go down to the G League.
Yes.
They're
eligible
for postseason rosters.
There's Sam Huff. Yes. Yeah. But I like Hechicero a lot, so I'm happy for him that he's getting paid. And then the Will Hobbs story was interesting because yesterday on my other show with Paul Fontaine, I talked about this, and it was a blurb in the Wrestling Observer where everybody's kind of like talking about this. And it's like, okay, WWE has interest in him. So that either means one of two things. That means contracts coming up or people are talking. But it also means who leaked that. And it was either Hobbs himself. It wasn't somebody in WWE management because they can't talk about contracts without tampering if it was a current contract. So it was probably a talent who came from AEW to WWE who said they had interest in him possibly as a feeler. Well, because Dave's not going to do contract tampering in any way. So I don't blame Will Hobbs either. I really think that this was the right move for him. I mean, it's all those guys who are kind of quote unquote AEW originals, but weren't names elsewhere, have been in this glut of people not moving up. And it's like, you want to play Carnegie just once? Do that and let's see what he can do. Cause he's a WWE style guy. He's a power guy.
Oh yeah. No, he's for sure that WWE style guy. I find it very interesting. People are talking about, this is going to release before SmackDown on Friday, that he could show up as early as SmackDown.
No,
I'm like, you wouldn't, don't put Will Hobbs, the big burly, like this is one of your big guys who's going to be in those, what do people used to call them? They used to call with Keith Lee, with Rusev, with
Sheamus.
Meat
matches?
Yeah, these are the meat matches, right? These are the big men slapping meat.
Yes.
That's what Will Hobbs is. That's what probably Raw could use a little bit of, because you got Drew McIntyre and you got Obafemi coming up on the SmackDown side. You got Trick Williams up there right now. You got some bigger dudes who have just showed up to the show. I would not put Will Hobbs on the SmackDown side. Probably wouldn't. I don't think he's going to head to NXT, even though that would be kind of a cool start for him, especially with the exodus of talent. So he might just show up on Raw at some point.
Paul
or his first night could be the Royal Rumble, of course, just to let that out there.
I brought that up, and I don't think so. I don't think they're going to debut him in the Royal Rumble, because it's like one of those things where it's like you'd give him that most eliminations push, but that's going to Obafemi, I think. I think that's for the guy. Paul had a great idea, and bringing in Hobbs as a heater for the returning Jericho. And I think that's an interesting idea right there. I think he ends up in NXT.
And it would be a difference. It would be a difference in the Jericho presentation too, if he had, coming in not by himself, but like, I don't know how they play it up. If they even reference like, hey guys, I'm on a retiring track here.
They do who's that guy? Oh my God. And then they figure out a name for him
something. I can't be fighting everybody right now. Right. I need a little bit of help here, but yeah, there's a lot of interesting because there's a lot of influx of talent, all the NXT names that have come up to SmackDown and Raw, all the returning faces that usually come back for WrestleMania season, like Brock Lesnar, like Randy Orton, like Roman Reigns. So you're going to have some filled up shows here. Now I know you got some more time on SmackDown, and Raw has been settled in there at the 2.5 hours. But you got a lot of new faces who are on the way to WrestleMania here. And Will Hobbs was the big one. But that was, I want you to get your point out here. But the reason I'm connecting all this is I just think Tony Khan, He knew the news was leaking out. Yes. I also think it was on the AEW side that actually leaked the news of Will Hobbs with connections to WWE and with leaving. Because you don't have to be on the WWE side to know that there's interest. If Will Hobbs is telling you backstage, like, yeah, buddy, I'm on my way out. I'm going to WWE. Like, if you're on the AEW side, you leak it out. So at least you kind of soften one of the surprises that can happen on the WWE side. But Tony Khan, I think he just wanted to get some positive out there about additions to the roster so it wasn't bogged down with subtractions.
Yes, it's called winning the news cycle. He was trying to get that out there to get that off the front page. Hey, I signed people too. It's not just that he's leaving. Everything's cool here.
But imagine if Jericho shows up with Hobbs on Raw or on some PLE or Saturday Night's Main Event. Saturday Night's Main Event might be the spot where you debut somebody, because you got Royal Rumble that's going to have some debuts. You've had some TV matches that have had some debuts. Why not do it on NBC, get some interest to your other programs? Imagine if those two, that's the moment he loses the PR cycle.
But I would say there's 2% at most chance that they fly him across the Atlantic to go to Europe to debut on SmackDown.
No, you're probably right. Yeah, I don't think it's happening either. It's just it's things I've been reading is because everyone wants to be like, this is the closest thing you have to Lex Luger in a long while, or someone leaves one night and is literally on the very next TV show for the opposition.
Also, can we talk about the Rascals a little bit here?
Sure. What would you like to bring up between the Rascals who have left TNA, coming to AEW, some of which were promoted for matches on that first show? It's like, talk about burning not just a bridge to TNA, but burning that potential bridge to WWE back again as well.
Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks, and they are just collision mainstays, if that.
Yeah.
I'm
wrestling
sorry.
Jet speed. Wrestling jet speed every
week. Yes, before the breakup or Top Flight or the crew or this incredible glut of guys of this size and talent. They are talented. I like the Rascals a lot. But this mid-card of AEW has a glut of these guys. And look, the sickos will tell you, oh, we get good matches. We get bangers every week. But they're going to be there and not used because the heavy angles on Dynamite is pretty well set, and Collision is just kind of there and nobody watches it. It feels like he's collecting toys to get bored with them in about 3 weeks. That's what it feels like.
Well, it's also, these are going to be your Collision matches 3 years from now.
Yes.
As well, because they were the Collision matches 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Rampage matches at the time. You know, these were the matches that were happening already. It's happened with Top Flight. It's happened with a lot of names. Unless you were a main star when AEW started, because there's no one new up at that level of the main stars. You can maybe argue Darby Allin, even though Darby Allin was kind of pushed that way a lot from the beginning anyway, where it's like, this is a guy that they're clearly high on. Unless you're Samoa Joe coming in from WWE and getting into that big top guy picture, it's the same guys. It's Kenny Omega. It's Jon Moxley. It's Adam Page. Swerve Strickland is new. He's the one true guy who has really broken out big time. You can say MJF, although obviously from the very beginning, MJF was always, he was winning matches. He was always going to be a top guy. He just wasn't there quite yet. The list is not long for a company that's coming up, being around for 7 years now. Because when you look at WCW in the late 90s, what was the big argument with Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero? All these guys were stuck in the mid-card, but they were only stuck in the mid-card for like 2 years and got the heck out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? 2 years was enough to know that we're never getting pushed out there. Dante Martin has been here for 6 years, bro, in the same spot he was before.
And you watch that promo of theirs, and he's not getting better on the promo side either. So
he's not getting better on the promos. His brother looks like he doesn't necessarily think the wrestling business is going to work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have a foot out the door into finding something else. But there's a lot of these guys. I mean, there's a lot of names that have been mid-card. And it's like, well, not everyone can be a top guy, brother. It's like, yeah, but everyone, not everyone needs to be a mid-carder for the entirety of their career either. Move down the card, move up the card, get some new talent in there.
I'll give one coda on the Dynamite. We can go to the other side if you'd like, unless you have other things. I liked that MJF beat Bandido clean last night because I am tired of the main event belt wearing heel always winning by nutshot or foreign object or distraction finish. I'd like giving heels credibility that they can beat other top guys in the ring clean. It's not that they have to cheat. It's that they want to cheat sometimes, you know?
I actually think now they've gone back and forth on this in the last few weeks since MJF has returned. Mm-hmm. Because there have been some moments where it's like, okay, that's just chicken shit, cheap MJF doing his thing again. But you talk about the match with Bandito, you talk about the main events where, I mean, he was smart. He got the pin on Samoa Joe. He hit his move. No shenanigans outside of, you know, letting other people do his dirty work and pushing him out of the ring, which happens. That mm-hmm. happens. And any babyface can do that too, right? It's like, there's been, I think, a concerted effort to change the MJF presentation since he returned to not just be, he doesn't win the Dynamite Battle Royal to get the diamond ring, like take him out of that. This guy's above that now of just being the bit where every year he finds a way to win this ring. Main event, world title picture, beats three of his top challengers. And then on the other side of the presentation comes, okay, this is the champion. And you have all the challengers now mm-hmm. who are competing to be the rightful challenger. So you're going to have MJF, who's being presented like he's beaten Samoa Joe, he's beaten Bandito, he's winning matches as well. He deserves to be the champion. Eventually going up against another guy who deserves to be the champion because he's won a bunch of matches. And those three top contenders right now, as we saw on Dynamite, Kenny Omega, who returned from just a couple of weeks off, really, Swerve Strickland, and Adam Page. It's very interesting with this world title picture because you have all three gunning for this championship, all three believably gunning for this championship. Although Kenny Omega and Adam Page seemingly have these side distractions, mm-hmm. whether it be the Don Callis family, whether it be Samoa Joe, and you got Swerve there who maybe can kind of focus and be that first challenge for MJF. So I do like the fact that MJF won again, but I think there's a true effort. Are you seeing this the same way with MJF?
I see something other than that going on with this Swerve Hangman thing, especially with the good angel, bad angel thing with Jet Speed last night.
Yeah.
And I know what they could do. They could do the standard, okay, Hangman's the babyface, Swerve is the heel type of thing. But after that, Hangman, I'll shake your hand and may the best man win. I want both of them to go full on heel here. And just be bitter baby faces about never winning the title and MJF outsmarting them and all this other stuff. And I hope that the Hangman part is a fake out. Because they're playing the Swerve thing up hard, and they should, you know, Speedball, you're fine. You're a good little guy. But man, you're the future of this business, Kevin Knight. And then Hangman comes in. Hey, we're doing a six-man next week. Okay, or on Saturday. Cool. Yeah. I want these two to wreak havoc, and you're kind of seeing it with like the end of that Brian Keith match where Swerve comes in with the chain and starts putting it around Big Bill's neck, and it's like, oh, okay. That's a little extreme.
Poor Samoa Joe too, because Samoa Joe is losing Will Hobbs, and they recorded the Trios Championship match after Dynamite. And Adam Page, spoiler alert, skip ahead 30 seconds. Adam Page and Jet Speed win the Trios titles. Will Hobbs obviously being out the door most likely means you can't take that belt with you. So Samoa Joe losing his backup in Will Hobbs. So he goes to start Dynamite recruiting the Bounty Hunter. Brian Keith, has the Bounty Hunter actually collected any bounties while in AEW?
I think he has a minor one, but I love Brian. I love Brian Keith. I do. I think that's such. I want him, Bandito, and Hangman in a stable eventually. yeah, it should be he's hiring Bill and Brian Keith. But at least we got away from the bad apple, Brian Keith.
No longer. I mean, you can thank a certain guy leaving the company most likely.
Mm-hmm.
If he's available, anyway. The Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith, was sent out to take care of Adam Page. It did not work. It did not work.
He took 70% of the match, though.
He did. No, he looked. I mean, he looked fine. He looked great. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those. It's one of those where it's like, okay, the mid card, kind of lower card guy is recruited by a top guy to go do this work. And like, in what world did you, the top guy, think this was going to work?
Yeah.
Sending Brian Keith out there when you couldn't do the job, you're thinking Brian Keith can? And then what would that say about you if Brian Keith did go do the job and you couldn't, Samoa Joe? But That was the downsizing. Come on,
bounties are as old as time in professional wrestling, where legit guys send people, like Harley Race in 83 with Slater and Orton going after Flair.
There are also two bounty hunter kind of storylines on this very show.
That's true.
Brian Keith, but then you had Ricochet and his stable.
Yes. Yes.
Talking that up. Ricochet does not have a future on TV commentary, I don't believe.
No, that wasn't solid stuff. No.
But the world title picture is interesting. It reminds me a lot of last year with the WWE title picture on the Raw side with Seth Rollins, Reigns, Punk, and McIntyre kind of all going. And every main event was some combination of those four kind of going at it. We could very well see this for the rest of the year in AEW with Swerve, Page, Omega, and MJF. And you can mix it up so much to where it's not going to feel repetitive, I think, with those four guys, because Omega hasn't been in the picture very much. Because when Page and Swerve were going at it, it wasn't them going up against MJF. It was them going up against Samoa Joe. And they can use TV to kind of keep it fresh for the MJF and all four of those because they have their side distractions. But I think you're going to have main events the rest of the year with some combination of those four in the world title picture.
And you have Ospreay if you want him to.
And you can have Ospreay coming back, which who knows when that might be. You can still put Joe in there possibly at some point. Maybe Adam Copeland comes back and has one last run to try and get the world title. You could fill a month or two of TV with that as well. So you have these names, you have these possibilities, but who you were not going to have this year was Will Hobbs. So he's like, I'm getting the hell out.
I was laughing because I was going, Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett.
He promised us he was going to have that last run, and we never got it, thanks to Brian Alvarez. Thank you.
All thanks to Brian Alvarez, apparently. I did watch. I watched Brian Alvarez's retort. I watched Jeff Jarrett on his show talking about that that gimmick there. I think the Jarrett thing was very weird, but you could still justify it. Like, you know, not every old guy who claims to have one last run can make that successful. So it's actually, it's somewhat kind of realistic to have Jarrett go out there and try to say he's going to have this one last run and it just not work. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. Not every last run has to go forward to actually being a last run. It's not even the Tom Brady situation, right? It's not even the Barry Bonds situation. Rarely in sports.
It's a Phillip Rivers situation.
It's Drew Brees kind of at the end there. It's like people have their peak. They start off good, turn into great, and then go back to good, because the body can't do it much anymore. It would be nice to see that more in wrestling. I thought John Cena should have lost every single match in his last year.
It's a Joe Burrow situation, possibly.
Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the NFL is ripe with it. But you see this a lot. Not everyone is Barry Bonds going out with the highest OPS of all time, right? Yeah. Like, not everyone's going to go out being the best there ever was. Goldberg lost his last match, as it should happen. Because guys are not as good as the 28-year-old something or other who's at their peak now. So I am fine with WWE and AEW and any wrestling company maybe promoting, you know, pitching this idea that, yeah, this one guy's going to have his big last run and it just does not work out, because guess what? There's a younger, hotter superstar that really is in the prime, and the story focuses then on them, whether it's the Gunther or whoever else, the Obafemi, the Trick Williams in the world.
All right, pivoting.
Pivoting. So
what does the Drew McIntyre title mean? And is Sami Zayn winning the Rumble, or is he winning the title in Riyadh?
None. None. I mean, he very well. I don't know where we're at with this, where if Sami Zayn, after his confrontation with Drew, you know, talking about, you know, wanting that one last title shot, I don't know if they just give him the title shot in Riyadh at the Royal Rumble. I mean, I could possibly see that. I don't see Sami Zayn winning a Royal Rumble. That, I think that year where he was like on top of the world, got the Roman Reigns match, I think that era is over for Sami Zayn right now. I don't think he's right up there. You can get one PLE out of him, but I don't think you need to win the Royal Rumble to have that PLE be WrestleMania.
Okay. Right?
He could easily be the Saturday night's main event. He could be Royal Rumble, or he could be Backlash, or not Backlash, but Elimination Chamber. Coming up, I think he gets his world title match. I do not think he wins. I think it's another one of those where it's the big match on a card, people go crazy for him, but at the end of the day, it's one more defense for the champ.
All right.
It is interesting though, because you have him at the top. You could put him in there. Finn Balor's getting a Raw championship match, you know, kind of out of nowhere. It's like, here, I need to focus up. I've let my stable kind of go dithering into the night because Dom's gone and we don't really know what's going on with JD McDonough and the women are all, we got Liv Morgan in a tag title match coming up at Saturday night's main event. They kind of switched that on us, right? We thought Raquel and Roxanne might go for the women's tag team titles and Liv would go into the world title picture. They swapped Liv and Raquel for at least right now. I think Raquel's right. getting Stephanie ready for eventually Liv Morgan getting back in that title picture. But we, because of the injury to Dom, that stable has kind of got the momentum shifted on him a little bit. So why not put Finn as a one-shot title contender here?
A bit, yeah. And Finn's hottest feud right now is with a puppet and Mr. Iguana down in AAA, to be honest with you. Have you seen this thing?
No, I'm not.
Finn
not
has
getting
a puppet.
Into the AAA. I'm not getting okay. into the AAA.
That's fine. But Finn has a demon puppet. And it's feuding with the iguana puppet. No, I get it.
I think I saw a TikTok and whatever. There's just too much on the plate now. We talked about how good these shows have been over the last week.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't watch all of them.
No. But you watched Raw and that was really good.
I watched Raw. Well, it actually kind of helps when Raw is at 2 p.m. So yes. I can watch it like
I
whenever.
I love the Euro shows. I do. It's great.
Like, can you go for like 6 months traveling to Europe?
Please, I can watch it while I'm at work and I just am doing my work and looking up and seeing this. And
hell, I don't even care. Do a loop around the southern states, South Carolina, North Carolina, and then a quick flight over to London for Raw. Like, do that more often. I loved it. But yeah, I'm not adding AAA into the picture. I'm not adding CMLL into the picture. I think WWE, AEW, probably, you know, watching a little bit more TNA now that they're on readily accessible cable channel here in AMC, still trying to keep up with a little bit of New Japan. It's like that's what's on the plate right now. I'm not watching everything. I'm not trying to watch everything. TNA, not to be left out of the signings, Jeff.
Okay.
announced a re-signing of Dolph Ziggler, an extension of Dolph Ziggler. So he's going to stick around TNA for a little bit longer as well. So TNA was like, we got to get in on this.
I'm going to be very interested at their numbers tonight.
Yeah, you're a numbers guy, huh?
No, I'm really not. But I want to see how they do on a channel that a lot of people with cable have. I mean,
yeah. And of course, by tonight we mean yesterday morning or yesterday.
Yes, that's true.
We are recording this right before TNA, so we're not going to be able to talk about the TNA debut exactly. But they did announce AJ Styles, and just to see what he does on here, who he puts over. Yeah, because last week, remember, Perez Hilton was the big celebrity they had announced. Yes. And then we got the real stuff right after we recorded that show.
Well, you're not going to have those hundreds of thousands of Max streamers that allegedly watch AEW every week. So that's why I'm interested to see how they do.
You think just them adding Max doubled their audience? I mean, come on. Who do you think we are?
AJ Styles, Gunther. Hose me.
Great
main
event.
I loved this match. God, this is so good.
Great match. I thought it was very clever how he did the tap out on the body so only AJ would see it. I thought the camera work and directing could a little bit better to actually see that when it was happening versus just the replay 2 minutes later. But yeah, no, that match was great. The European crowd loved it. It's the exact type of matches. I mean, CM Punk and Finn Balor, Drew McIntyre in the main event against Cody Rhodes, and then Gunther and AJ Styles, like they knew they were going on this European tour and they were booking like the perfect matches for all these shows for this European tour. They mean something. They have foreign competitors in them, European competitors in them. I mean, they've done a really good job with this tour.
I'd even say the Pierce angle was fantastic.
Where do you think this is going?
I think much like, you remember when that one time they booked Pierce against Roman Reigns?
Yeah, I do.
I think Heyman, okay, I'm not going to litigate because I loved that twist. I think you put the hands on first. Braun Breaker squash match against Adam Pearce. He gets the spear. I think that's where it goes on this. Okay. And then he's knocked down. Then we may get an interim GM. That might be how they're bringing in Jericho. Oh, God. No.
I don't see Jericho being the interim GM. I do think the tables get turned on Adam Pearce.
Eva,
I'm not trying to be, I don't even know what you do. Like, is Triple H, I mean, it is WrestleMania season. Could Triple H come back on screen for a little bit leading up to WrestleMania. Because yeah, maybe there's a suspension of Adam Pearce. Maybe there is some type of confrontation or match. I think Bron Breakker comes back right away. This is his out to come back. And then they feel like they have even more power. I thought that was an actual good way of doing that.
Yeah.
But Adam Pearce, I mean, man, the Bron
Breakker
was great
too. That's
the
most I've seen out of it. Oh, Bron. Yeah. Just from an acting perspective, I'm watching Bron and I'm just going, I don't know if I could ever do a scene with that guy because he's literally crazy. I think
he's so intense.
You know, he's yelling F-bombs. Pearce is kind of getting into the thing with yelling profanities too because he's in the moment. It was so awesome.
It's amazing. He's such a better Scott Steiner than Scott Steiner was. Like, yes. It really is awesome. It's good stuff with Bron Breakker. I actually moved him up onto the number one slot of my top five mic guys in AEW. If Bron Breakker was an AEW, he goes from number two to number one, passing Justin Roberts. So good job, Bron Breakker, in that segment. But there's a lot of stuff going on the Raw side, man. I mean, this is, I actually think all three shows, came out of the gates and were pretty strong with the main events that these shows had, with the focus on the storylines that these shows had. We look at heading into Saturday night's main event, which is less than 2 weeks away now, January 24th in Montreal. The main event of the
show
is going to be a four-way main event to be the number one contender for the SmackDown WWE Championship. But we're going to have qualifying matches this week on SmackDown. So we got Randy Orton going up against The Miz, Solo Sikoa and Damian Priest, Matt Cardona and Trick Williams, which actually is the most interesting one to me, and then Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov. So you talk about Sami Zayn winning the Rumble, potentially getting a match. Sami Zayn might win the Saturday night's main event four-way and get his match that way.
Yes.
And could it happen at the Royal Rumble? Possibly. I don't see him winning, but of those four, quickly, who do you think is going to actually win these qualifying matches? And then, yeah, any thoughts that you have on not only these pairings, but what we might be looking at with the WWE title picture?
I need to back up and ask you why you find Trick Williams versus Matt Cardona the most interesting over Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov,
It's going to be the best match.
Okay.
But I don't think there's any way Sami Zayn loses that match unless they really want to go deep into this Sami Zayn just can't win the big one story. And like, he has to really start at the back of the line and it goes for much longer. I think Sami Zayn's winning that match. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Matt Cardona, you bring back, you give him the speech with Cody Rhodes where he's like, I'm not coming back just to be back. I'm coming for that title. Well, you sure shit ain't being Trick Williams who just came up, dude.
Trick's going to destroy him.
Trick's going to destroy you. So guess what? Matt Cardona is just another guy. And then that whole Cody Rhodes thing goes out.
Yes,
the window.
Yes, he's Zack Ryder with another name. Congratulations to Matt Cardona.
Solo and Priest, I could very well see Solo getting in there just to be like the big bad heel this match.
You know who Solo is? Solo is kind of SmackDown's The Miz in some ways.
Miz is there on SmackDown.
That's true. But it's like, he's the guy. It's like, oh, God, another one of these. Oh no,
Solo,
they're gonna push
better
them
watch
again.
Out. He better watch out being so funny in his promos and matches because they might just turn him into the funny guy.
Oh God. He is Solo funny
Priest,
though. He is funny.
He's hilarious. He's a better Uso than the Usos.
And Randall K is Randall K. He's gonna get in there.
Randall Keith Kennedy Orton against The Miz. I think Randy Orton's getting in there. I'd put Solo in there. I'd put Trick Williams in there, and then Sami Zayn in the four-way match. And then it gets really interesting because I don't think Trick would win that match, but I also wouldn't take the fall. You have Solo Sikoa in there who could take the fall. Of those four guys, you put it that way. And it's like Sami Zayn getting the match win and then going to the Royal Rumble does make a lot of sense. And he can get
match. Randy and Trick brawl to the back. Solo takes the fall from Sami.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That's going to be your main event for Saturday night's main event, that four-way for the title shot. Also on that show, Rhea Ripley and Io Sky defending against Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez. So we have a couple of matches now for Saturday night's main event. We know the Royal Rumble matches for the Royal Rumble. We're probably getting a title match or two added onto that as well the next Saturday in Riyadh. Big shows coming up at the end of the month for WWE. I don't think there's anyone right now that has a good 100% theory on who could win the Royal Rumble because now Cody Rhodes just got put in there.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes just got into the top tier there. And you're like, and there was that rumor that Cody and Roman was off for Mania as well. So
Well, I mean, yeah, if you don't have the title, what are you going to do? Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, just to be the third match and to see who's better, but no real stakes at the end of it.
Let me pitch something. Cody wins the Rumble, challenges Punk.
I wonder, we should put out a poll, because I would imagine most people actually think that Cody is the number one contender to win that Royal Rumble match after this, which would be the third time in what, the last five years, I guess.
That's true. I hadn't thought about how often he wins this match.
He won two in a row to get those Roman matches, took a year off, and here he would be back at it. So it's very interesting. All this to say is that there's a lot of chaos heading into Royal Rumble. This reminds me a lot of the early 2000s when there was a lot of hijinks between like Kurt Angle and The Rock and Steve Austin, Mick Foley and Undertaker and Triple H and all these. Just, you never know based on who won the Rumble what the actual main event of WrestleMania would be. And we're back at it this year where you don't really know what's kind of leading the way, because you might get the added wild card of Seth Rollins coming back into the title picture, heading up in between this as well. And then there's always Gunther, who seems right now just to be happy with retiring guys, but eventually there's not going to be any more guys to retire.
Well, there's three of them that are on the roster, and you can always do that. The retirement happens at Mania, right? It's not just at a rando pay-per-view.
For AJ?
Yeah, I think AJ. I think if AJ has said, I'm retiring after this year, then it's like, okay, let's make the retirement a big deal. We do it at Mania. It
very well could be. But yeah, Gunther seems to be on that track right now, which is a good distraction from putting him back in the world title picture, because we all know, I think eventually he's going to be back there in the world title picture. Jeff, I'm conflicted.
Okay.
So my wife and I, we just booked a little Valentine's getaway. You know, Valentine's Day, this gimmick is coming up in a month.
Oh.
Middle of February. Rumor has it happens on February 14th every year.
I'm still a free agent, by the way, people.
Well, if you are a single young female somehow watching
can't
the
be
show,
that can't be that young Jeff,
well,
go
young,
ahead.
Young is relative. Young could be 37.
Okay,
could be 44.
Thank
could be,
you.
Could be 19. Who knows?
Thank you. Go ahead. But I apologize for joking in the middle of your story. Go for it.
It's a very serious story, Jeff. Very serious story. So we were like, what do you want to do for Valentine's? I'll put together a little plan. And that plan includes going to Nashville, getting a return trip to Nashville, which is my favorite place. I could spend every day there for Valentine's weekend. And what did TNA do? They just announced that on February 13th, which is a day I'm going to be there, No Surrender is actually happening in downtown Nashville at the Pinnacle, which is a new arena just opened up last year. So I am going to be down there purposely not going to No Surrender, because why would you take 4 hours away from Broadway, people? Why would you do this? Especially when you could head into Honky Tonk Central and meet my good personal friend, Braun Strowman.
And have a cider with Rob.
Have a cider with season 2's host of Everything on the Menu, because Everything on the Menu was renewed for a 12-episode second season coming back to USA. So if you have been missing Braun Strowman, don't worry, guys. He's coming back for Everything's on the Menu. Jeff, what is your favorite wrestling-related television show?
Between the Ropes.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.